Satanic Mysteries. Now, Margaret says, I have really participated in the several parts of the Russian Divine Service. And I've actually experienced in a real way certain parts of the Russian Divine Service in such a way that I cannot at all doubt upon their truth. In Russia, one stands earnestly and simply in the church. Here, with your anthroposophical organizations, everything is sentimental and sweet. Rudolf Steiner said, sweet? He began to laugh. However, he said, but in me, myself, there's nothing which could call forth sentimentality. To which he answers, in you not, but everything projects itself precisely the reverse of that which you want. You want freedom and independence, and that arises the reverse. Here there dominates your authority, and no one wants to think for himself. Stein answers, indeed, but I want nothing other than the freedom, and that depends upon the human being himself. Margaret, does there not exist a danger that your noble words lose their force? For example, take the names of the hierarchies. Do not they lose their force when you often keep on repeating them? Answer. However, I do not express them without good reason. Margaret. I mean the other people. Then Rudolf Steiner, then you can explain that to their lack of tact. Margaret. You give over these words, and the people have no possibility of taking them up in the correct way. Answer. That will pass away. In 2,000 years, that will be different. Just remember what I have said to you last time about the eggs of herrings. Of 100 eggs, 99 disappear. Or eliminated, or disintegrate. That is the great cosmic law. And if the occultist didn't know that law, that 100 herring seeds, out of 100 herring seeds, 99 disintegrate, and only one goes on, if the occultist didn't know that, he wouldn't be able to create. If of 100 human beings, only a half of them have something of the blessing of this revelation, then the task has reached its goal. You see, nature is very verschwenderisch, voluptuous, extravagant, prodigal. The law of extravagance, exactly that extravagance, holds sway in the world. This is the end of the interview. Now Margaret Wallachin has an interview with Steiner and Castle on the 5th of July, 1909. She speaks with Steiner about exercises, about painting. He gave me a portrait of Nostradamus, and he spoke about the art of copper engraving of the Middle Ages. I asked about Mary. How does the earthly individuality relate itself to the idea? How does Mary relate itself to Sophia? Does it relate itself to this world or to the other world? The answer, Steiner. What happened once in Palestine, that upon the astral plane is a continuing existence. In the physical world, it could manifest itself, realize itself only once on the basis of the laws and conditions of the physical world. The pure woman Maria gave Christ, the pure woman Maria, who had given Christ the body, transformed herself. Jesus Christ grew and developed himself, and also she developed herself. And finally, there remained in her nothing other than wisdom. She became the pure embodiment of wisdom. So her virginity returned back to her in the moment of baptism, as Jesus was born in the spiritual world and was taken out of the physical world. Christ unites John, who carried in himself the Christ impulse, the creative primal ground of the earth, with the mother, which without her, John could not be active. John carried himself the Christ impulse, the creative primal ground in himself, but John could not be active without the mother, and she could not be active without John. In attachment to the question about Mary and her relationship to the Sophia, Rudolf Steiner spoke about marriage. He said, originally, in the spiritual world, the woman previously gave herself spiritually to the man. The husband fructified the physical body, she gave him wisdom. It was factually an exchange. Even today, sometimes this occurs also. Many women, according to their organization, have assumed marriage in this way and can become Sophias. However, the male sex became degenerate and fell. However, the creative artistic natures would have to thank their creations to the woman. So, for example, Goethe's love did not manifest itself externally in a sensual way. Dr. Steiner asks, do you not believe that? And I answered, I believe it completely. With Goethe, the flames transform themselves into spiritual creation. Rudolf Steiner, indeed, that is so. And if you perceive the sevenfold rhythmic aspect of his creation, together a new woman brought a new spirit into his life. One can absolutely follow this. When he wrote his Metamorphoses of Plants, there he needed the taking hold of this elementary love. And this woman was Vulpius, the plant. Again, this carried itself over to his art. The art is sacramental when it is uniform on all levels. It can be imperfect, but that which is produced is either living or dead. And I said, either it is a birth or a misbirth. That's quite correct, he said. And I responded, I said to him, that makes me so sad that you give yourself over to Shure, that you concern yourself with Shure. What he writes is coarse illustration, is a grove illustration, but it's no art. Steiner answers, it would be false to believe that if I permit his things to be led out, this also signifies that they please me. But at the present time, there's nothing else. And this is necessary for human beings. Do you find it unsympathetic that that's how I carry out the thing, that's how I do things? I answered, really, I can't see it. Indeed, you see, if I were a contemplative nature like you, so I would not spoken otherwise. I understand you well. However, I must work. Here we end this session. Now there's a conversation on January 1912. We spoke about painting, and Dr. Steiner said, that the colours are the revenges of God on Lucifer, but also could be his redemption, salvation. The reality of the soul world is concealed from us through colours. God places a coloured blindfold upon our eyes in order that we should not see the forbidden world. Now about the days of the festivals, Rudolf Steiner said, the important thing are the intervals between them and their sequence, but not their exact dates. On another occasion, Rudolf Steiner told Margaret Voloshin, he said, when I hear how one speaks Russian, I have the impression they have not yet are able to dominate their language. The vowels do not stream out. In the English language, one has thrown out all the consonants. What resound are only the vowels. That is egoism. It is impossible to become objective. In the German language, there is an equilibrium. But by you Russians, the vowels first arise. They are still subjective. You have a path stretched out before you. Now we have a note on the 21st of November 1912. The chemist came to me and showed me a flask with a wonderful red colour obtained from roses. The colours were triturated, ground down, all with honey and wax. Dr. Steiner said that one is able to receive out of the plants all the colours. The word bloomer, flower, and the word farba, colour, is in the Russian language the same, tsvet. Also, light and colour has the same root. I asked the chemist, under what conditions does diamond originate out of coal? He said, it requires a very high temperature of several thousand degrees, then a very quick cooling down under very strong pressure. That means a measureless suffering of the mineral. And to what are we striving? We are striving to become a diamond out of coal. Note, on the evening of the 20th of September 1913, there was established in Moscow the Anthroposophical Society, and the branch which we preliminarily gave the name of Soloviev was initiated. Later on, Rudolf Steiner gave the Moscow branch the name of Mikhail Lomonosov. Lomonosov. Now here's a note from the date of 8th of May 1914, when Rudolf Steiner said, just think of the flowers. Study the flower. Study the plants. The etheric forms of man and animals have been corrupted. But with the plant, the etheric forms are pure. If you study the flowers, the movement of their surfaces in space, then you will be able to understand the ether body. The surfaces of the flowers, study those. They are the best sculptors. For that reason, you cannot reproduce a flower as a sculpture. Now a note from the 23rd of May 1914. It is amazing how Dr. Steiner already sees the form in a lump of wood, and in a quite unexpected way can fetch the form out of the thick stuff, as if he were just freeing it from the thick stuff. Yesterday, Rudolf Steiner said the following. He said, the art intellectuals are completely mistaken when they imagine that the acanthus flower is the basis for the capital. This form arose out of the spiritual world. Nevertheless, it corresponds to the acanthus leaf in nature. And as one subsequently noticed the similarity, one began to perfect the form. Likewise, is it the case with vessels in the form of the stag? When men had made these vessels out of bones, they discovered that reminded them of a stag, and so they inserted into it still an eye. The art doesn't copy nature. The beginnings of art had never proceeded out of naturalism. Our forms, one later on will also say that they have originated from this or that in the world of nature. However, they have been obtained from the etheric and astral world, and, however, remind us on something of the fact which also exists in the world of nature. During the building of the Goetheanum in the 4th of June 1914, Rudolf Steiner mentioned that at one time, something should be built just with only one axis of symmetry. That everything up to now has been built that it possesses two axes of symmetry. But now we are attempting to build something with one symmetry axis. Here everything is one unity. Everything lives, and everything has really been received out of the spiritual world. On the 11th of September 1914, Rudolf Steiner mentioned to an engineer about the hatred which Russia has towards Germany. And he says, this is a property of the Russian people. They take everything very, very eagerly up, and after they take it up, they turn their hatred against the source from which they received their nutrition. So was it with all science. They all over invited the Germans for the different branches of science. And later on you will see the same sort of thing will happen with anthroposophical spiritual science. And now here's a note on Dornach, November 1915. Rudolf Steiner visited a presentation of the art of a modern painter, and he told me the following. This non-objective painting one can understand only as a protest against naturalism. In itself, it is absurd. If one really penetrates into the world of colors, then one arrives at its essential being. In the world of dominating, holding sway colors, one finds, for example, the archetypal picture of the lion. You don't need to first have to look for it in the physical world. Another time, Rudolf Steiner said the following. If the essential experience of colors is not fostered in our age, and the mechanistic theories about the nature of color will continue to live among human beings, then children will come to the world who will no longer possess a perception for colors. The world for them will be gray, just as people today are no longer capable of being able to perceive those elementary spirits which weave in the world of nature. Now we come to the contributions by Max Gumbel Zeiling. And somebody asked Rudolf Steiner, they said, Herr Doctor, is your mystery drama, this was the mystery drama, The Probation of the Soul, is your mystery drama a dramatic Ausgestaltung, dramatic development of Goethe's fairy tale? Rudolf Steiner answered, the situation is just the reverse. Goethe's fairy tale thanks its origin for that comprehensive cultus which is mediated in the mystery dramas of our age, which whose nature the Archangel Michael revealed at the time of Goethe in a powerful imaginations which were called forth by the Archangel Michael. Goethe's genius was able to grasp from these powerful imaginations miniature pictures. Those pictures which have been mediated by me in a dramatic way have their origin in the total tableau of that cult in the spiritual world which all of you had taken part in at the turning point of the 18th to the 19th century. Now here's another note. Rudolf Steiner mentioned that in the presentation of the stage, it is important to realize that the appearances of Ahriman and Lucifer cross over in such a way that before the mystery of Golgotha, Ahriman stood left in the foreground and Lucifer right in the foreground. Whereas after the mystery of Golgotha, Ahriman stands right in the background and Lucifer left in the background. Now here's something reported by Frau Dr. Wegmann. In 1905, she came from Holland to Zurich in order there to take up studies of medicine. On the way, she went to Berlin, where she could also hear Dr. Steiner, and she asked Fräulein von Sivers advice if perhaps it would not be better for her to study medicine in Berlin. And so Dr. Wegmann would then be able to visit all the lectures of Dr. Steiner. But then Fräulein von Sivers answered me, and this was in the year 1905, "You go to Zurich. Our whole movement nevertheless will go into Switzerland." These were words of destiny. And thankful for this advice of Fräulein von Sivers, the result was that Dr. Wegmann was the only physician who had a Swiss diploma. And so, through that, offered the opportunity for Dr. Steiner in Switzerland after the war to be able to fructify medicine in a practical way. Now here's a note from Adelheid Petersen. She says, in the autumn of the year 1913, the foundation stone was laid. In the night of the 31st of December 1922 to the 1st of January 1923, it burned down to ashes to the ground. Often, since the years since the outbreak of the war in 1914, the thought often came into me that Germany's whole destiny would have been different if the bow, which originally was intended, could have been built in Munich. Then, the spiritual center point of anthroposophy would be in Munich, from which there could stream out the renewal forces against the decay of civilization, and this would have happened in Germany. Munich would have become the spiritual capital of the anthroposophical movement. That movement, which was the true mission of Germany to carry into mankind's development. However, this was prevented. In a conversation with Adelheid Petersen, Rudolf Steiner said, "Never should you speak out of a feeling of being swollen up inside, out of an inner fullness, if you want to serve the spiritual world in an anthroposophical sense. But you must have a feeling of in an insufficiency, of an incapacity to really fulfill that which is expected by you, a feeling of an incapacity. You must actually ask for help. Then your words will find the correct path into the inner being of your listeners. Rudolf Steiner once mentioned to Rudolf Treichler that smoking doesn't disturb occult development, but in contrary, holds certain demons distant. It's rather strange. Rudolf Steiner never mentioned smoking in connection with cancer. And here we come to the end of the tape.